Tonight's daf is daf chaf. So we have another daf on Shabbos as well, 45 minutes before mincha. So, alright, tonight's daf is daf chaf. We're on the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says we got to the last eight lines or so. Amar bi Asi, Amar bi Yochanan, Meiser Sheni Me'amasai Chayiv in Alav. At what point Meiser Sheni, is there an Isser, is someone Chay Malkus on, for eating it? And the Gemara answers, Mishera Pnei Achoma. So once Meiser Sheni is brought inside the walls of Yishalayim, there's a Chayiv Malkus. What's a Chayiv Malkus on? Oops, sorry, where is Rashi here? There's no Rashi here? Which Chayiv Malkus are we talking about? I think we're talking about the Isser of eating outside Yishalayim. Once it goes inside Yishalayim, it's Asser to take it outside Yishalayim, one gets Malkus. How do we know this? My time, what's the reason? The Gemara says, Damar Kra, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Tochalenu. That in front of Hashem is when you're supposed to eat it, meaning inside the walls of Yishalayim. Uksivin, it's written further, Lo Sucha Lechel B'Sharecha. And you can't eat it B'Sharecha. You can't eat it in your own gates back at home. What does that mean? Whenever we say you're supposed to eat it within the walls of Yishalayim, so then we're karinam bay, then we call it lo sucha lechal b'sherecha. Then you can't eat it outside anymore. When we have not yet referred to it as eating inside the walls of Yishalayim, lo karinam bay lo sucha lechal b'sherecha. We don't say it's asr to eat outside. So that's the limud, that once Meiser Sheni is brought into Yishalayim, there's an isr to eat it outside of Yishalayim. So asks the Gemara now, Meisivei. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kohen Sha'also Biyado Teina Shal Tevel. The Kohen's holding a fig that happens to be Tevel. Amar, so he says as follows. Teina Zu, this fig, Trumaso Mubuksa. The end of it's going to be Truma. Maiser Rishon Bitzvona. And the northern part's going to be Maiser Rishon for the Levi. And the Maiser Sheni Ladroma. The southern part of this fig will be Maiser Sheni. Vihishnas Maiser Sheni, if it's one of the years where Maiser Sheni is brought. Vihubi Yushalayim, and if he's standing in Yushalayim at that very time. Oh, Meiser Ani, or if it's one of the years where there's a Chi Meiser Ani instead of Meiser Sheni, he says this part is going to be Meiser Ani, Behubik Vulin, and he's standing outside Yishalayim. So if he goes ahead in Achla, after separating all those different Chiyuvim, he goes ahead and eats it, this Kohen. The Gemara says in the top of Chav, Loka, he gets Malkus. Loka Achas, one, why? But Rashi points out, look at the top line of Daf Chav, Loka Achas, Delo Hotzia Midei Tevel, but Kriya Shemze. By doing all the various afrashos, he still did not remove the iser tevel. The kachil meiser rishon hatavel lechumas meiser v'kaver alav the tevel. He forgot one thing. He forgot to take up chumas meiser. After you take meiser rishon, so then when the levi receives meiser rishon, he has to take off another meiser called chumas meiser and give that to the kohen. He missed that one step. That's why he gets malchus. Then the gemara says vizar. A non-coin, Sha'achla, if he were to eat this, he would be Lokesh Shtayim. He would get two sets of lashes. One for the Truma, because remember the coin said, Ba'uksa is Truma. And the other one is for the Tevel, because the Truma's Meiser had not been separated. Those are the two sets of Malkos that Azar would get. She'ila Betchila Achla, Eino Loke El Achas. If he did it Betchila, what does it mean Betchila here? If he ate initially, he only get one. Why? I think it's referring to if he did not yet leave, if he did not get to Yishalayim yet. If he didn't separate any of the Hafrashos yet, if he didn't separate any of the Hafrashos, there'd be just one Isser of Tevel overall. So then the Zayir will only get one set of Malkos there for it being Tevel. But once the Kohen separated Truma, so now there's Truma and there's still some remaining Tevel, for that reason the Zayir gets two sets of Malkos. Either way, time at the East of Yishalayim, only because they're standing in Yishalayim, Habigvulin Loke Shalosh. Had they been standing outside of Yishalayim, there would be three sets of lashes. The third set of lashes would be for eating Maisha Sheni outside Yishalayim. And the Gemara's Medayik, the Afal Gav Delav Ro Pnei Chome. So the implication is only because he's standing in Yishalayim, there's no Isser in eating Maisha Sheni. But if he were to be standing outside of Yishalayim, there would be another set of lashes for Maisha Sheni Chutz Yishalayim, even if the fruit never made its way into Yishalayim. So that means when the farmer is walking along the way, if he eats it before he gets to Yishalayim, he would get Malkus for eating Maiser Sheni Chutz Yishalayim. But we said above that there's only an Isser once you go into Yishalayim, and then you step out, is there going to be an Isser? Which is exactly what the Gemara says. No, the Aile V'Apke. It's talking about a case where he went inside the walls of Yishalayim, and then if he were to leave after that point, there would, in Achanami, be a third set of lashes. Ihachi, if that's the case, my lemeiro, what's a chiddush? We already know that. Mara says, Hacha b'may askinan, what are we dealing with here? Kigon da'ilinhu b'tivlaihu v'kasavar matno shalo hurmu kimish hurmu damim. The chiddush is, if this ma'aser sheni that had been already separated, and you brought it into Yerushalayim, and then you exit, and you eat it, you certainly will get an iser. There's no chiddush. That's obvious to everyone. The chiddush here is, there's a concept that this Gemara is invoking here, which comes out many places. Matnos shelo hurmu. Matnos are the gifts, the various matnos kuna, truma, ma'aser, rishon, anything like that, that were not yet hurmu, that were not yet separated. Hurmu is like lashon truma, to the harem, to separate. What lift? If they were not yet separated, there is an opinion out there that we view them as if they were already separated, even though they actually were not. So that means if you bring in fruits of ma'aser tevel into Yerushalayim, and you have not separated anything, so the halacha tells us that we view them as if they're separated. Somewhere within this tevel, there's ma'aser sheni. Now, we don't know where it is exactly, but somehow it's created. Ma'aser sheni is created there, somehow. And now, if you were to take that tevel outside Yerushalayim and eat it, there'd be violation of eating ma'aser sheni chutz liYerushalayim. Even though you didn't actually declare it in ma'aser sheni, it's still, we hold, kesavar matnos shelo hurmu, Matanos that were not yet separated, we view them kimi shehurmi damyan. And that's the chiddush. Even tevel ma'aser sheni that's brought inside Yerushalayim and then removed, there will be violation of this iser of eating ma'aser sheni chutz liYerushalayim. Now the Gemara challenges this. V'savar Rabbi Yossi matnos shelo hurmu kimi shehurmi damyan. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold this way? That if it wasn't yet separated, it's as if it was separated? V'hatanya, but doesn't the Braisa say, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Lo nechleku beishame beis hillel al peros shlo nigmaram lachtan. There's no machlokas there on fruit that were not finished yet, meaning underdeveloped fruit that are not yet ripe, shlo nigmaram lachtan, v'avri b'yushalayim, that if you bring a peros shlo nigmara into Yerushalayim, sheyifta ma'aser sheni shalahen v'yochel b'chol makom. If the fruit are underdeveloped, so then you are allowed to bring them into Yerushalayim and then take them right out. It won't, the walls of Yerushalayim will not create ma'aser sheni on underdeveloped fruits. You could take them right back outside and redeem them. So then the Gemara says further, v'amal nechleku, what's the machlokas here? Al peros shenigmaram lachtan v'avri b'Yerushalayim. If they were fully ripe fruits that were brought into Yerushalayim, shebeishamay omrim yachzir ma'aser sheni shelahem v'yochel b'Yerushalayim. So if you exit Yerushalayim, Beishamay says you have to bring them back into Yerushalayim to eat them. But Beis Hillel omrim yifteh v'yochel b'chol makom. You could remove, you could leave Yerushalayim and redeem them wherever you want and eat them wherever you want. So v'yishaka daitach matnos matanos shelo hurma kimish hurma damim. If you were to assume that tevel, which has not yet been separated, the ma'aser sheni, but we view them as if they are humu, as if they are separated. Ha'kaltu mechitzos. The lacha is that if you paskin that fruits that have not yet tevel, that the walls of Yerushalayim create a truma, created kimisha humadami. So according to all opinions, even according to Beis Hillel, once you bring that tevel fruit inside, the walls should create the ma'aser sheni, and should then be usur for Beis Hillel to allow you to take them right back outside again and redeem them. We're talking about a situation here of tevel, where you bring in tevel ma'aser sheni. So Beis Shammai says, once you bring it inside, even though it's only tevel, it's usur to take out anymore. If you do take it out, you need to bring it back in. Beis Hillel says, no, if you bring tevel in, you can always take it right back out, since it's still tevel, you never created a ma'aser sheni. But if we're assuming that Rabbi Yossi holds that matanos shelo hurmu is kimish hurmu damim, so the moment you bring the tevel fruit inside, kaltu mechitos, the mechitos have now been collated, have been protected, have really created ma'aser sheni, and it should be also to take it outside, and you shouldn't be able to redeem it anywhere where you go. That's what the kash is on Rabbi Yossi. So Gemara answers, Amar Rabba, mechitza le'echel deraisa, mechitza liklo dirabanan. What's going on here is as follows. Is there Rashi here? I think there must be Rashi here, right? No Rashi. Okay. So halacha is as follows. When it comes to the halachas of eating the fruits, so mechitas deraisa, in that we say, we view the tevel as if they're separated, and it would be usur to eat the fruits outside Yerushalayim. That happens automatically by bringing tevel inside the walls of Yerushalayim. with regard to the mechitza in terms of liklot, that if you enter into Shalayim, that's usher to redeem, that's only an iser midrabanan. So again, the iser to eat the fruit outside Yushalayim, that's deraisa. The wall says, the mechitza is what they accomplish is, with five tevel, it only says, I cannot eat it outside Yushalayim anymore. But it doesn't say it's usher to be poder. Normally we assume those are go hand in hand. If you have to eat it in Yushalayim, that means you can't redeem it anymore. That's normally how they go. But we're learning from this Gemara here that's actually one of these halachas are deraisa, one of the halachas are really dirabanan. So when you bring the tevel inside, mechitza does work deraisa. It does separate the ma'aser sheni, even though I really haven't separated it yet. But what it tells me is, it only is views that way, that I cannot eat it anywhere outside. I must eat it inside. But that's in terms of achila. But in terms of pidyon, the mechitza does not say it's usher to be poda anymore. I can take it outside Yushalayim, I can't eat it outside Yushalayim, but I am allowed to be poded outside Yushalayim. And that's where the Gemara is being mechadesh here. So yes, it is.
What are you going to do? You can't eat it.
Oh, so once you're poded it, so then you can eat it though. If I wasn't poded it yet. How does the deraisa? Well, right now, if it's Ma'aser Sheni somewhere there, it is Ma'aser Sheni. Let's say, for example, if I haven't gotten to Yushalayim yet, and I already separated my Ma'aser Sheni, I'm allowed to be poded outside Yushalayim. And that now these fruits are mutter for me to eat. So in a similar way, when I bring my tevel fruits to Yushalayim, and now the Torah says that there's ma'aser sheni now, I can't eat it anywhere else, just like regular ma'aser sheni, but they still allow me to be poded, just like regular fruits I were to be bringing up. It's the same halacha. This way it's kind of backwards. Normally I going down, I can't eat it, I can only eat it in Yushalayim, but I can be poded. So now I brought it into Yushalayim as tevel. I still could only eat in Yushalayim, but I'm allowed to go outside and still be poder. So that halacha, still, again, opposite directions, but the same halacha. And the Gemara continues to say, V'chi gazer rabbanon. So when did the rabbanon make a gzeira that you can't be poder anymore outside Yushalayim? They only made a gzeira, ki isa be'en. When the fruit was be'en, when their ma'aser sheni was already established and recognized, when you already separated ma'aser sheni. But pitvela lo gazer rabbanim. But if the ma'aser sheni was still bataras tevel, I haven't yet separated the ma'aser sheni, they never made a gzera in that place, in that situation. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara didn't explain why, l'chorot, because the shchich lo shchichi is probably uncommon for someone to bring tevel fruits up to Yushalayim, and in the case of lo shchichi, uncommon cases, they do not make gzeras. That's all with the Gemara's initial answers according to Rabbah. Then Ravina says, Amar, the situation where he's holding it on a long stick of some sort. And this answers the question of Rav Papa yesterday. So what's the case here? So he's standing in one place, and I think he's standing inside Yushalayim, and he's holding a long stick of the fruit far away, and wanted to know, well, that's not considered bimulecha, that's not considered in his hand, or is it in his hand? It's an extension, but it's really far away. We weren't sure what to do. So Ravina says here is as follows, that, how do we plug this in? So if you look at Rashi, the last few narrow lines in Rashi, Ravina Amar, ha didaikinu la'el, ha bigvulin lo keshalosh, v'kabayis ma'ilameimra, itzrich k'on gond inakile b'kanya. V'kamash malon de k'man de ra'a p'nei achoma de mivil tami, v'lo k'mishim de lo suchal ihadar achay v'achle. So we're going back to the initial question. The initial question we had, what was the chiddush of this Gemara? That the guy, the Tzar, eats the ma'aser sheni that has chuma in it, and then there's tevel in it. He gets two sets of lashes. We said, what's the chiddush here? So he says, the chiddush, Ravina says, the chiddush is where he's standing far away. That's the chiddush. Going back to the top of the Gemara here. He's standing inside, and the fruit are very far away in a long stick. The chiddush is, even in that case, we view the fruit as being inside Yushalayim, and there's a chiyah malchus if the Tzar were to eat it. That's what we learn from this.
To the case of the
rotzeach,
yeah.
Similar type of din, exactly. Even when we got to that case, I think the Gemara itself, the Gemara connected to Bikurim, not to Ma'aser Sheni. But yeah, similar idea though. Okay, now we get a little bit easier stuff now, guys. Okay, let's wake up a little bit and let's do some other halachas now. Mishnah says, HaKareach Karcha Barosho, a guy who tears out his hair from his head, and Rashi tells us, Al Hames, as an act of mourning, which is an Issa Deraisa. HaMakif Pas Rosho, someone who cuts off someone else's peos. HaMashchis Pas Zikono, someone who destroys his facial hair. VaAsorit Tzvita Achas, What?
That's what you said someone else's. Is that to be his own also, or?
Well, he can makif past Rosh Hashanah. There's usually a makif and a nikaf. So the Gemara talks about two different people, but Einachanami, if he does it to himself, it would also be Shaykh. But normally we assume the makif is doing to some other person. Vasorit Srita Achas al Meis, someone who scratches on his skin, al Hameis, Chayv. Each of these cases are Chayv Malkus. Seret Srita Achas al Chamisha Meisim, if there are five deaths and he scratches one Srita, out of respect for all five deaths, or Chamesh Sritas al Kol al Meis Echad, or five scratches for one death, Chayv al Kachas Vachas. You're Chayv five different sets of Malkus. Al HaRosh Shtayim, Achas Mikan Vachas Mikan, on the head there are two corners, one pair here, one pair there. Alazakan on the beard, shtayim mikan shayim mikan v'achas milamata. There's a total of five, two on the sides and one on the chin. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im nitlu kulan k'achas einu chayv el achas. If you are skilled enough, you could take off all five spots in the beard or pairs all at the same time. You'd only be chayv one because it's one maisa. Veinu chayv ad shi'lenu betar. The only chayv once, only if you use a razor. That's the razor has to touch the skin, a blade. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu lakto b'malakate o b'ritani chayv. So what's malakate? What do they say? It's some type of, what do they say in English? How do they call malakate?
Plane.
A plane?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. I don't know. It's something you use for scratching, I think. It's a stick. And the other thing, I think ritani is they use for maybe the rooftops or something?
They only make one translation, though. They translate ritani and malakate as plane.
Uh-huh. It's some tool that's used for smoothing things out, I believe. And it's used...
Tweezers,
I don't know. I think it's a sandpaper. I don't know what it is. Something you'd use, which is not a normal way to cut hair. But that, too, if it does remove the hair in such a way, it serves as a blade, it would be chayv as well, according to Rabbi Elias. The Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan, quoting a pasuk, lo yikarachu, that you can't pull your hair out and from your head. Yachal filu karach, Arba v'chamesh krichos lo yechayv elachas. If you pull out four or five spots, maybe there should only be one set of lashes. Tam lomar karcha. So the whole pasuk says lo yikruchu karcha. Why the double lashon? Lo yikarchu, of course, if you don't make a bald spot, it means you're going to create a bald spot. So why say lo yikarchu karcha? The double lashon to say that you're chayv al kol karcha v'karcha b'rosham. Matam lomar lefi. Because it says, don't scratch, lo sigodu means don't scratch, and don't place a bald spot between your eyes. One might think that you're only chayv if it's between your eyes. How do you know if you tear off hair any other part of the head? You'd be chayv. Vainly, ala bekanim. So I only know this pasuk lo yikarchu karcha b'rosham is a pasuk in Parshas. Anyone know? Emor, the parsha about all kohanim, talking about the dinim of kohanim. So one might think that maybe it only applies to kohanim, which is the context, and the svar would be shiriba behen akas of mitzvos yiseros, because we know kohanim have much more mitzvos than we have as non-kohanim. So Yisrael minayin. How do I know that a Yisrael would also be subject to the iser of b'rosham? So Nemar Kan Karchav, Nemar Nahalan Karcha, says Karcha by the other pasuk that appears in Dvarim, that Los Iskodu Los Asimu Karcha Bene Nechem, that's talking about everyone. No one's allowed to tear from hair between the eyes. So now we have Gzer Shava. Malahalan Chayva Kol Karcha, sorry, I skipped a line here, I think. Right, Malahalan Chayva Kol Karcha V'Karcha, just like by the case of Emor, by the Kohen, you're Chayva on each tearing out of the hair. V'Chayv Al Harosh, Kibein Hanayim, you're chayv on the head, just like you are between the eyes. Afkan, so to hear, by all Yisraelim, chayv al kol karcha v'karcha v'chayv al harosh kibein hanayim. Then the Gemara says further, malahalan al hamesh, just like later on in Devarim, when it says, v'lo sasimu karcha bein enecham lames, that the Isser only applies to when tearing out hair because of the mace. Afkan al hamesh, so too by a Kohen, it only applies to when tearing out hair because of a mace. Fine. So now the Gemara wants to know, honey, dalad v'chamisha krichos hechidami. What's the scenario exactly when you tear off four or five bald spots on the head? Hechidami, what's the case? See, lame if you're going to say b'zeh achar zeh, u'b'chamesh hasraos pshita. If it means he tears out once and then another time, and in between each karcha he gets warned an independent hasra, so of course you get five different sets of lashes. It's a separate hasra for each ma'isa avera. That's too obvious for us to learn. Ella, top of Chafam and Beis, it must be a situation.
Wait, if he gets Hasara in between each one, but can it still be considered one one pulling? I mean, it's happening.
If he gets worn, he tears out. Gets warned again, tears out a second time, they're viewed as two separate actions.
He's really continuing the process, he just keeps getting warned in between his pulling out.
And we'll see in a second, I think, a similar case. But if he gets multiple warnings, that means multiple chataos, multiple malchus. So Ella must be bechada hasra. Must be that there's one hasra. So if there's one hasra, michaiv, are you chayv multiple times? If the guy says don't pull your hair out, and he pulls out all day long, you're only chayv one for one hasra. V'hatnan, the Mishnah tells us in Nazir. Nazir shaya shosa yayin kol hayom. If he's drinking all day long, he only gets one avera. Amulov, they say to him, Al tishte, don't drink. And each time he's warned not to drink, he drinks anyways, you're chayv separately on each warning. So it can't be a case where he was warned one time, and that's going to result in multiple malchus. That can't be true. Lotzich, the Gemara says, Desach chamesh etzbaosav, nasa, he had put some type of ointment that could remove the hair on his fingers, five fingers. Vosvinu bevas achas, he placed all five fingers with this chemical on his head. Havile hasra l'chol chad v'chada. So you say to the guy, don't put your five fingers on your head, and he acts on it anyways, so he creates five bald spots, and he gets five chatas all on one hasra, which is fascinating. That's what's going on here. Now the Gemara wants to know, kama shir karcha. How much, what's considered karcha? Is one hair? Or is there a certain size? So Rav Huna Omer Kadesha Yira Meirosho, in order that you could see some of the bald spots. Pulling one hair out won't create a bald spot. It has to be enough, you could see a bald spot. Now, that also has to be defined, how much of a bald spot. But Rav Yochanan Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon Kigris, the size of a gris. So Gemara says, skipping the parentheses. Achem Omerim Kadesha Yira Meirosho. So you could see from the head. It sounds like the first opinion. How is that different than the first opinion? Maybe this is supposed to be just the second brisa here. Yeah, I think I have to read the parentheses, they say. Let's read the parentheses, fine. Ketanai. This machlokas Rav Huna versus Rav Yochanan is really like a machlokas tanayim. Kam ashir karcha, kigris according to the first opinion. And achayim omrim, kidei shiira berosho. So that's the machlokas amarayim aligns nicely with a machlokas tanayim. So Amar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva Pligi bat Tasa Tanai. There's really a three-way machlokas. Chad Amar Kigris, Chad Amar Kedei Shira Meirosho, that we've seen already. V'chad Amar Kishtei Saros. One says two hairs would be violation of this Isser of Karcha. V'kid Mapik Shtei Saros Umal Bekadasha. Some say the third opinion isn't two hairs, it's actually the size of an Adasha, like the size of a lentil. V'simanach, the mnemonic to remember that is Beros Kigris Umichya Bekadasha. Okay, that's the mnemonic to remember. Fine. Tana Hanotel Male Piazug B'Shabbos Chayv. Seemingly unrelated brisa tells us that a person takes off the amount it takes in Pizug, in the mouth of a scissor. However many hairs fit in that, he cuts that amount on Shabbos. There's a violation of which malacha? Gozes, right? So you chayv gozes for doing that amount of hair. V'kama Male Pizug. How much fits in the mouth of a scissor? The answer is the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Shtaim Tu. So two hairs, the Gemara says, V'hatani l'karcha, shtayim, but doesn't it say, for ripping out hair, for mace, isn't that two hairs? Which sounds like, it's a strange question, but sounds like, the karcha, only karcha has a din of shtei saros, no other halacha has a din of shtei saros. But the Gemara in Shabbos says, Shabbos also has a din of shtei saros. So Gemara says, Eima v'chein l'karcha shtayim. It means to say, and by karcha as well, this shear is two hairs. Just like Shabbos, it's two hairs for cutting two hairs. So to karcha is an issur with shtei saros. Tani nami hachi, the Braisa also says, Hanotel mali piazug b'Shabbos chayiv v'kama mali piazug shtayim. Rabbi Eliezer omer achas. Rabbi Eliezer is machmir. He says even pulling out, cutting one hair on Shabbos would be a chiv of gozes. So umodim chachamim the Rabbi Eliezer. There is a situation where even the chachamim will agree that one hair would be enough. B'melake levanos mitoch shcharos. Afila achas shu chayv. The person plucks out one white hair from his black hairs, so that would be a violation even if it's just one. Because that's considered a tikkun. Normally, one hair is nothing. Two hairs is something more significant. But when you're trying to pull out one hair among black hairs, that's considered a tikkun, and therefore there's a chiv on Shabbos. The davar zeh. What? That wouldn't be bara, because I don't think that would be considered. Bara only applies when there's a tarovis, when there's a mixture. I don't think it's considered. Yeah, I don't think it's considered a mixture, though. They have separate. Yeah. No, I'm not attacking you. So the Gemara says, "V'davar zeh afilu b'chol aser," and this would be aser even during the week, during a weekday, to pull out white hair from the black hairs. Mishum shenemar lo yilbash gever simlas isha. That's considered beged isha. To make yourself look nicer and handsome, to pull out white hairs would be violation of beged isha. Now. Gemara now says, Hamakip Pas Rosho Vachule Taner Rabbanan. The Brisa teaches us Pas Rosho. What does it mean, Pas, or Pas Rosho, the corner? Sof Rosho, it means the end of the head. That's where the Isser of the Peos is. Vez is Sof Rosho. Where's the end of the head, the hairline? Zeh HaMashvet Tzedav LaChorei Ozno Uftachaso. Person who makes an even line from the side of his head to behind his ears to his forehead. Make a whole circle like the way the monks have it, like that. That's where the real Isser is. Okay. That's why the brisker payas is they have these big chunks up here. Because the Isser is really wherever your hairline is. Don't look at my hairline, but other people have hairlines. You go here, where you draw like that, that's where anything below that's asur to cut. So that's why they have big, thick payas up here below that line. Okay. Gemara says, Tani kami de Rav Chista, echad hamakev, echad hanikav loke. Both the makif, the barber, and the one getting the haircut, the nikaf, both get a set of malchus. So this makes sense. Amar le man da'achel tamre barvile lake. If a guy on Shabbos goes to collect some dates, and he picks them off the tree on Shabbos, he violates koter, and gives them to me, and I eat them, I'm going to get malchus because I ate the teina. Say, so too, I'm getting a haircut. I did nothing wrong. He cut my hair. So I get malchus for him cutting off my corners? So it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, "Damar lecha money, Rabbi Yehudahi, damar lav shema ma'isa lokin alav." Yeah, even though I, as the nikaf, I didn't do a ma'isa, still Rabbi Yehuda paskins lav shema ma'isa is malchus. Now we don't paskin that way, but at least this brisa, Rav Chista is quoting that echad amakif, echad nikaf, the nikaf gets malchus because it's a lav shema ma'isa. Comes along Rava. Rava says, "No, Omer b'makif la'atzmo v'divrei kol." What Rava was saying, no, if the guy gives his own haircut. So he's both the makif and the nikaf now. He cuts off his corners. So even though he's only the nikaf, he's still doing a maisa of the makif. So he gets two sets of malchus. And Rav Ashi Omer b'misayeya v'divrei kol. And that's what he paskin. Where the guy, you know, tilts his head a little bit. He puts his head in this position, in that position. While I'm getting a haircut, he says, go like this, look up, look down. So I'm being misaye his maisa. So that's also considered a level of a maisa on my part. And that's why I do get malchus. We have this idea of being misaye mitzvahs elsewhere. One that comes to mind is the mission, the second parak of Kedushin says mitzvah, but we learn the halacha mitzvah by Yosef mibishlucha. Person can send the shliach out, but it's better for him to do it himself to get married. So then the same thing applies for a woman. Mitzvah ba, Yosef mibishlucha. Better for her to get married than it is to send the shliach. So the question becomes, what's the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? So some say Kedushin's the mitzvah. But others say there's no mitzvah of Kedushin. That's a machlokas Rush and Rambam. So if you assume there's no mitzvah of Kedushin, so what's the mitzvah of Bo Yosef Mibishlucho? What's the answer? What's the mitzvah then? Anyone know? Mm-hmm. Peruvu, exactly. They explain, the Rush writes in Kezubis, that Kedushin is a achana to the mitzvah of Peruvu. That's a mitzvah deraisa. So that explains men. Men have a mitzvah of Peruvu. Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mibishlucho. But women don't have a mitzvah of Peruvu. The Gemara Nivama says, Peruvu v'chavshua, the pasuk says in Bereishis, only those who are bnei kivushin, only the warriors, conquerors, like men, are chayv in mitzvahs peruvu. Women who are not warriors are pater in peruvu. So how are you going to explain the Gemara, mitzvah ba yosem b'shlucha? So answers the Ran, since women are mimesayeya, the mesayeya in the mitzvah peruvu, that's enough of a mitzvah, their shaychas to that mitzvah is enough for them to apply the concept of mitzvah ba yosem b'shlucha. You're right. It's a good point. But we still see that content now on both ends. But we have other places also by Shabbos we apply Misayeya by Isser Shabbos.
You said that the world should not be empty. Let's say,
yeah, Shabbos Yachtav, yeah.
That's the Kli or the woman.
Possibly. That's for Goyim. Possibly for women also. Possibly. Okay, the Gemara says now the two dots. Hamashchis Peas Zikano, guy who destroys his corners of his beard. Taner Rabbanan Peas Zikno, the corners. What does that mean? Sof Zikno, the ends. Veis a Sof. What's the end? Zikno Shibolus Zikno. So look at Rashi here. Rashi explains now. Shibboleth zikta is referring to where the hair meets the skin. And somehow that looks like a shibboleth. I don't know what a shibboleth, whatever, you know, the stalks look like. I think that's how they describe it. I don't see Rashi here at all. Let's see, does he explain this? I only explain the imagery, though.
No.
Explain maybe the Masifta here. They quote a Ritva here that says the Shuras Haseyar, the lines of hair, Shiyesham Shadomaktas Lishibolas. It looks a little bit like a shibolas, like a stalk of grain. Omipnei Shiyesham Ktas Blitas Basar, because maybe the skin pops out a little bit. When the hair grows from it, it gets a little bit of a bump there, small bump. That looks like a shibolas. I don't know exactly the image here, but that's what they're saying here. The end means the end where it touches the skin.
Yeah,
you
know, just
the
hair on the chin that protrudes like an ear of grain.
Uh huh.
So what does it say?
Right. Okay. Ear? On your skin. That's what the isser. The isser of cutting the five corners is on the skin. Sure. That's why you can't use a razor on the face.
A razor.
Okay. Gemara now says Hamasaret Shrita Achas. Tanur Abban the Brisa says the Sarat. I'll read the whole pasuk on the side here. Where is that? V'saret lenefesh lo sidnu b'vzarchem. Don't place a scratch on your flesh. Fine. So yachal afilu saret albeso shenafa. Maybe let's say you scratch yourself because your house fell, or else finaso shetava bayam, or maybe a boat of yours sunk. Tamalomer lenefesh einu chayv ala alames bilvad. You only chayv when you scratch yourself because of the grief that you're feeling because of a mace, not any other type of grief. Let's say you scratch five scratches because of one death. How do you know you have five separate sets of malchus? Tanur Rabbanan, viseret. What's the lashon? What's the drasha there? Look, is there a Rashi here? Rashi says tamalomer viseret. Two lines up. Dimati lemichtav. The pasuk said lenefesh lo sirtu lo tisertu. B'malkom viseret lenefesh lo sitnu. He had an extra word there. The extra word is to teach me l'chayv al kol srita v'srika, to include all additional scratches you'll be chayv on. Rabbi Yossi omer menayin l'srita srita achas al chamesh mesim shuchayiv al kol achas v'achas. Let's say you do one scratch because of five deaths, the opposite case. So how do you know you're chayv five times even though you only did one ma'isa srita? Tamil lomar l'nefesh. The next word is l'nefesh. L'chayv al kol nefesh v'nefesh, to mechayv one srita even though it's in multiple nefashos. Gemara says, wait a second, you can't use that word lenefesh to teach me multiple nefashos, because ha afiksa, we already use lenefesh to tell me only that you're chayv when you're going to do a srita on a mace, on a nefesh, but not beso, shenafo, lesfinasa, shetava, bayam. So now we're using the word lenefesh to teach two different halachas. It only applies to a mace, and number two, it applies to multiple mace. So Gemara says, on the top of a chaf aleph, amun aleph, we'll just read a few lines, kesava Rabbi Yossi, srita, begedida, achasi. Rabbi Yossi holds that srita, scratching, and gedida is really one and the same thing. Says Rashi in the top here, the tervayu bein b'diya bein makli, whether you use your hand or whether you use a kli, there's no difference. Uksiv, and it's written, Rashi continues, b'gedida lemeis lo sisko deduv lo sasimu karcha. So now we have two different psukim. Uksiv hasam lemeis. So by gedida lo sisko deduv, lemeis lo sisko deduv, that tells me that loskodu and srita applies to a mace. So why does it say lenefesh? Lenefesh means to multiple mesim, you be chayv multiple times. That's all in the world of Rabbi Yossi. Amar Shmuel says no. Hamasari b'kli chayv. A person who scratches with a utensil, that's when he's chayv. But as opposed to a yad, you would not be chayv. You use your nails, you wouldn't be chayv according to Shmuel. So the Gemara says, how could that be? Mesive, srita v'gedida achasi. We just said above that Rabbi Yossi holds it one and the same. I don't care if you use your nails. I don't care if you use your kli. Ella, what he means is she srita b'yad v'gedida b'klihu damar k'Rabbi Yossi. He holds. Let's see what's going on here for a second here. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says hamasari, top line, last word hamasari b'kli chayv. Person who scratches with the kli, according to Shmuel, is chayv. Everyone agrees, the definition of gedida means you're using a kli. And when you say srita, it means the nails. The kamar Shmuel says, V'lo kamar ha-megadid b'kli. Why did you use misarit as opposed to megadid? It's inaccurate. La'ashminan, to teach me the shame srita shayach b'kli. You could even use the word srita when using a kli. V'ha'ose ha-chabur ba'atzmo b'kli al ha-meis chayiv shnei lavin. Mishum misarit mishum megadid d'gdida v'srita achasi d'tervayu b'im b'ya b'im b'kli. So Shmuel's being mechadish. You get two violations. When you scratch, whether b'yad, whether b'kli, you get two violations. One for lo siskodadu, and one for seret l'nefesh lo sitnuba. So then the Gemara asks, again, meisive g'dida v'srita achasi. So says Rashi, meisive g'dida v'srita achasi, kolomar ben srita ben g'dida inyon chaburahim. They both mean to scratch. V'shneim al hames, they're both referring to scratching because of a death. El srita b'yad v'gdida b'kli, and they're two different ones. And there's only one violation. If you use yad, you violate srita. If you use a kli, you violate g'dida. So how could Shmuel say that you're getting two violations of both them? And the Gemara answers, again, Elasrita b'yad b'gedida b'klihu b'damar kribyosi. He doesn't say you get two sets of lashes on either one of them. Rather, he's just telling us that there's an iser srita for b'yad, and there's an iser g'dida b'kli. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up in Mirat Hashem Shabbos, 45 minutes prior to Mincha.